That's the objective. Find the X.
Yeah? What's at the X? Pirate treasure?
Bob, no questions.
Hey everybody, this is Tony with the Stranger Things podcast, and this is a special presentation. Stay tuned.
You know, the first memory I have of watching the Goonies was on the big screen, and my mom, she took me to see the Goonies. Now, my memory is a little bit hazy, but I remember wanting to see the Ghoulies, and it was a horror movie about these little weird alien demon-like things, and, you know, I remember it so well, wanting to see that movie, but for some reason we saw The Goonies, and maybe she thought this was a better movie for me to see at the time. Maybe the other one, she looked into it and maybe it was a little bit scary for me at the time, although around that time I'd, you know, seen other movies like Freddy Krueger and, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street, those movies. So it's really funny that we went and saw The Goonies, and I, you know, she was like, oh, we went to see the wrong one. But I don't think that was it. I think that's a little bit, you know, she was telling a little bit of a white lie there. But that memory of seeing the Goonies for the first time on the screen, just being so awe-inspiring. It just really cemented for me one of my favorite movies of all time in my mind. And I'm so glad that I had that experience. And I'm so glad I had it with my mother, who's no longer here. So today we're going to be talking about The Goonies, one of my favorite movies from the 80s. The Goonies, released June 7, 1985. Directed by Richard Donner, that started his career with episodes of television shows like The Rifleman, The Fugitive, and the famous The Twilight Zone. And he would later go on to direct The Omen, Superman, Lethal Weapon, Scrooged, and The Goonies, of course. The Goonies was adapted from a screenplay by Chris Columbus, a huge director in his own right, directing both Home Alone movies. Yeah, there were only two of those movies because I don't consider the third a part of that franchise. But he directed many other hits as well. But the screenplay was based on a story by Steven Spielberg. And I don't think I need to go into his bio. I mean, Spielberg defined what an 80s director was and is one of the greatest directors of all time. The Goonies was a huge success, made on a budget of about $19 million, with a box office take of $125 million. In today's money, that would be about $400 million if you adjust for inflation. Now let's introduce our cast. Sean Austin, also known as Mikey, which most of us may know as Bob Newby in season 2 of Stranger Things, Samwise in the Lord of the Rings movies, and Daniel Rudy in the movie entitled Rudy. Josh Brolin, also known as Bran, Mikey's big brother, Bran, whom we don't really need to say what he's been in, but we'll get a little bit into that a little bit later on. And then there's Corey Feldman, also known as Mouth, for his roles in The Lost Boys, Stand By Me, Gremlins, and the voice of Donatello in the 1990 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie. Then there's Jeff Cohen, also known as the lovable Chunk. And then we have Ke Kwan, also known as Data, which was also in Indiana Jones. And he has a recent movie out, which is pretty great as of this year, 2022, called Everything Everywhere All at Once. One of the best movies of the year so far. And then we have Carrie Green, also known as Andy. And then we have Martha Plipton as Steph. And these were some really, really great characters and just the way they built their character arcs. So we're going to start off with just the beginning of the movie, and I'm going to be jumping around a little bit all over the place, just talking about the movies and just really diving into some of the history. So we start with a suicide in jail leading to a jailbreak at the very beginning of the movie. And of course, this is something that definitely would not fly with today's audiences, especially in a PG movie, although the PG-13 was very loose, and as far as I'm concerned, it's a little bit still loose as far as what's allowed in PG-13 movies, but not to go off on that tangent. Francis, Jake, and Mama Fratelli break out Francis from the jail, and there's a whole montage that that begins and ends when we finally meet a lot of the characters, you know. And then we meet Andy, a cheerleader on the school field, and we just get a little bit of a sense of her character and what she's all about. And then there's a car chase through town where we briefly meet Rosalita in the most comedic of ways, really cartoonish, really. And you know, we kind of establish a little bit of her character from the very beginning, you know. And you know, with, you know, there's a little bit of the whole 80s, you know, should we have done this going on. And really, when I say 80s, I'm talking about everything pretty much from the 80s on back. It was just like, you know, there was a lot of stereotypes that were fed into, and we probably shouldn't have done that, but it was a product of his time, so, you know, we'll allow it now, but we know that we can do so much better, and we have done so much better moving forward. And this is where we meet Mouth and his father, and, you know, his father is up under the sink fixing on the sink itself, some plumbing. We found out a little bit later on that his father is a plumber, and Mouth cuts the TV off, and the police chase is still going through town. And as he's watching something on the TV that I guess is a police chase, and when he turns the television off, the chase still goes on. And you know, it's just these little moments throughout the movie where you're just seeing like, oh, this is, you know, this is really fun. There are just these little things that you don't notice. But if you're really paying attention, you'll see they're just playing with some movie magic here and there. But anyway, then we get a quick cut to Steph, Data, and finally Chunk. And, you know, all doing various activities that seem to showcase their particular character overall. Steph, for some reason, is weirdly bobbing for crabs. We never understand or know why she's doing that, but hey, it's there. It's just these little weird nuanced things that are just sprinkled throughout the movie. And Data's trying out his latest invention, and then Chunk is playing video games and eating. And you know, during the scene with Chunk, he says, "Oh shit," when spilling his drink, which looks to be some type of milkshake of some sort. But as a 6-year-old me, I went around saying, "Oh shit," for months, like literally months, you know, just in the most inappropriate situations, especially for a 6-year-old. It was just so funny, you know, saying and doing that, and just kind of like, and I think for me, remembering a little bit of that, it was just getting a little bit of a reaction from my parents, especially my dad, who never used profanity. My mom, she, you know, sparingly, but it was just so funny just doing that. It was like every time I would drop something or something would happen, you know, I would just burst out the, "Oh shit," you know, and it was just in that, the same kind of like cadence that Chunk used in the movie at that time, and it was just something I disliked doing. Anyway, that was just a really weird small aside, showcasing some of the quirkiness that would come from me years later and up to this very day. Fortunately, unfortunately, I don't know. Depends on how you view it. Anyway, so then we get the beach racing scene, which was filmed about 40 miles away from the Astoria, where this entire movie takes place. So it was really funny to see a lot of that kind of like being inserted in there. It's like, this is not really there. And did these kids actually, you know, go 40 plus miles to this different location? You know, I don't know, but it was really interesting to see a little bit of that in there. You know, and as an aside, Kathleen Kennedy was also an executive producer alongside Steven Spielberg. And she's now the executive producer for Disney/Disney+, and, you know, pretty much all things Disney. And she basically spearheads a lot of the Star Wars movies and, you know, and some of the series that are on the Disney Plus app. And if you go and if you like Mandalorian, or if you like Obi-Wan Kenobi, if you like the new Andor, which is really, really great. You know, seen the first three episodes, absolutely great. But, you know, she's behind a lot of that. And she's been a producer in Hollywood for so many years, so many decades. And she's got all this great experience. Some of the things with Star Wars I don't like as much as being a Star Wars fan. But, you know, I get it. I get it. Sometimes you have to do, you know, you have to put certain things into place. You have to do things you necessarily wouldn't do under certain circumstances and situations. But creatively, you know, some of the things hasn't been my favorite. But anyway, moving on. So now we meet Mikey and Bran, also known as Bob Newby Superhero and Thanos. And he's really, 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 you know, they are really playing off of one another as older brother and younger brother. And they're really, really great. And their mouth arrives branding his awesome Prince Purple Rain t-shirt. One of my favorite moments in the scene where he's, you know, doing all these characters of just different movie stars, characters that were in the 80s, like Sylvester Stallone. I just love his character so much. He's really irreverent and just really sassy to a certain extent, and just funny. He's a real wise ass, to be very blunt. And then Chunk, he shows up, and of course he has to do the truffle shuffle, wearing a shirt he seems to have stolen from Jim Hopper in season 3, where he has the whole Hawaiian look going on. And this is something that the Duffer Brothers really probably pulled from the Goonies, or from Magnum P.I., or from something else that they were really wearing throughout the 80s. Miami Vice, that was another area where they probably pulled some of these things from. So they had a lot of different things they could pull from in the 80s. But definitely the Hawaiian shirt was his whole thing. And then Chuck drops a Greek statue from the table and breaks off Mikey's mom's favorite piece, a penis or the statue. Don't quite know. But looking at it as an adult now, I can see, okay, this was really a play on words, because a piece is sometimes, you know, a piece of art, or it could have been just that specific piece. So this is something I look back on now and I'm thinking, okay, this is something that they played around with, the writers of the script, the screenplay. They really played around with a lot of this, and I think that was really really something that was great, because it was like, you could take it as one thing as a kid, you know, having this really goofy goofy drama or comedic tones really take place, where it could be either, you know, a body part of a male, or it could have, you know, been taken as, you know, this is an art piece, this is something that you can really appreciate. So it could have been both of those, but Mouth fills in the blank in a slight, not so subtle way, doing one of his imitations during it. Now, I love the way Mikey takes a puff of his inhaler just as an aside and just tosses it to the ground, and then later on he comes back and he picks it up. And Mouth, also known as Clark by Mikey's mom, starts translating to Rosalita, one of the funniest comedic beats throughout the movie, outside of either booty or booby trap. And it was just great to see a lot of that building up throughout the entire movie. And then the attic scene with the gang, just Mikey just finds the map and just this beginning of wonder and what they can do, and just the start of a new Goonie adventure. And, you know, Chunk pretty much says something to that effect towards the end of them leaving the attic scene. And just this imagination and everything that infiltrated this entire movie was just one of my favorite parts of this movie. It's like the imagination and just sparking that and really enjoying all of that, and just seeing it fully established on screen. I can remember as a kid having all these memories and everything, and trying to go and have these Goonie adventures. I'll be right back and I'll talk more about those Goonie adventures.
Hey, Mikey.
Yo, Mikey. Hey, Mikey, send your drinks.
Hey, guys, come down.
Get your foot off the table, man.
Yeah. Come down, guys. Hey, what's the matter with you guys? Come on, what's the matter? What is this, a nuclear Saturday or something? Come on, guys. This is our last weekend together. Last Goonie weekend. We gotta be going out in style. Cruising the coast. Sniffing some rays. Down in the bruise. But no! One older brother had to go and screw it up. By flunking your driver's test?
I just got the back. You're not
gonna do it, you kid.
Hey, you guys, you gotta let me in.
You're Clark.
No, what?
It's Chunk.
I just saw the most amazing thing of my entire life.
First, you gotta do the truffle shuffle.
Come on.
Do it.
Come on.
Do it.
Drop it, huh? I know you would think that from good old Chuck.
You idiot!
questions in here, Chuck. Look, it's a map of our coastline.
What's all that Spanish junk right there?
Who knows? Mouth, you said you could translate. Translate, right here.
Yeah, translate it.
Ye intruders beware. Crushing death and grief. Soaked with blood of the trespassing thief.
You guys, this map is old news. Everybody and their grandfather went looking for that. When our parents were our age, I mean, haven't you ever heard of that guy? What's his name? The pirate guy. One-Eyed Willie.
One-Eyed Willie. Yeah, he was the most famous pirate in his time. My dad told me all about him once.
Dad'll do anything to get you to go to sleep.
No. See, One-Eyed Willie stole the treasure once. It was full of rubies and emeralds and diamonds. Diamonds. And then he loaded it all up onto his ship. And they sailed away into the sunset. Until the British king, see, he found out about it, and then he set up this whole armada to go out after him. And then the armada, it took him a couple weeks, but then they caught up with Willie, and then there was a whole big war between the armada and Willie's ship, the Inferno. And during the firefight, there was just guns bursting here and cannons bursting there. And then Willie fled, because he didn't want to stay around, because he knew he'd get killed if he stayed around. And then he got into this cave. And then the British, they blew up the walls all around him. And he got caved in. And he's been there ever since.
Forever?
Forever.
And ever?
Trapped. Wow.
You sound just as corny as Dad does.
My dad tells me the truth. You know what he said? He told me that One-Eyed Willie and his bunch were down there for 5-6 years. And they were digging all these tunnels and caves. Setting booby traps.
Booby traps.
That's what I said, setting booby traps so that anybody that tried to get in there would die. And then you know what he did? He killed all of his men.
Why?
Why'd he kill all of them? Well, because he didn't want them to get to his treasure.
Yeah, wait a minute, Mikey. But if he killed all his men, how did the map or the story get out?
See, I asked my dad the same question. He said one of the guys must have gotten out with the map and...
Hey, Mike, I believe you.
Yeah, well, I don't believe you. I don't believe you at all. I think you're full of it. I think
you're not. Chunk, this time, Chunk.
Hey, you guys, look at this. Hey, you guys ever heard of this guy? Look, Chester Copperpot.
Chester Copperpot.
Look, it says, Chester Copperpot, missing while in pursuit of local legend. Reclusive scavenger claims, I have the key to One-Eyed Willie.
Wow, do you guys realize what we could do?
Nobody ever found nothing, you guys. I mean, why do you think this map would be up here in this attic when it could be in some safety deposit box somewhere, right?
That's right. And anyway, if Chester Copperpot didn't find it, how would we find it?
But what if? You guys, just what if this map could lead to One-Eyed Willie's rich stuff?
Maybe.
Then we wouldn't have to leave the Goondocks.
Come on, before you catch a real cold.
You seem to be pretty sure of yourself.
The foreclosure is a definite.
Oh, God, am I depressed.
Well, I found One-Eyed Willie's rich stuff. I'd pay all my dad's bills. Then maybe he could get to sleep at night instead of sitting up trying to figure out a way for all of us to stay here.
Yeah, me
too. Forget about any adventures, limp lungs. I let you out and Mom would ground my ass and I got a date with Andy on Friday, right?
You're dreaming, dude. There's no way. Because that means your mom's got to drive. Then you got to make it with her and her mom.
Shut up, Mouth.
Shut up, Data. Ouch.
Country club, it's killing our parents. If we don't do something now, there's gonna be a golf course right where we're standing. Brian, hop off and stretch that.
It's not that hard.
Let's go! I'm gonna hit you so hard when you wake up, your clothes are gonna be out of style! George Washington. Martin Sheen.
Martin Sheen? That's President Kennedy, you idiot!
Well, same difference. I mean, he played Kennedy once.
Oh, that's really smart. I'm glad to know you're using your brain.
Yeah, well, at least I have a brain.
So stupid, Mouth.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. Shut up! Wait a minute. This isn't gold. This is a wishing well. Look.
Hey, you guys, look. It must be the old Moss Garden wishing well.
You know, I always used to believe that when you threw your money in, it turned into your wish.
You take no coins. And I'll take 2 coins and
you'll that's not fair.
Wait. Stop. You can't do this.
Why?
Because these are somebody else's wishes. They're somebody else's dreams.
Yeah. But you know what? This one. This one right here. This was my dream, my wish. And it didn't come true. So I'm taking it back. Taking them all back.
Come on, One-Eyed Willie. What does this have to do with the map? Is this just another one of your tricks?
Hey, Sean. Hey, Sean, Aston. Is that you?
Josh. Yeah.
Hey, it's me, Josh Gad.
Yeah, no, I know.
Thank you for returning my 12th call.
Yeah, got a little overwhelming not to just call you back, so.
Yeah.
Hey there, how can I help you out, big man?
Oh, no, it's nothing big. It's a small favor. Was wondering if you could help me track down your entire cast from your movie, The Goonies. Could you do that?
Well, I could do it. There's plenty of ways.
Great.
Yeah, but, you know, it kind of takes something to get something.
Sean, please don't.
Do it.
Come on.
Do it.
Come on.
Do it.
All right, Sean. Okay, I'll do it. I'll do the truffle shuffle.
No. That is not what I meant. Oh, what I was driving funny. At was, you know, a little Olaf. Can you do a little Olaf? Come on, please. Just a little bit. My wife and kids, like a little message. They would love it. We love that movie so much. Please.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, I can do that. Hey, that's me. I'm Olaf. I like warm hugs.
That's it? You can do better than that. Come on, you're Olaf.
Hey! Hi, Sean's family. I'm Olaf. Would you or your family like to see me do the truffle shuffle?
No.
Still no?
No. But it was great, Olaf.
Thank you.
You want to make the call now? You want me to round them up?
Yes. 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 All right, how do we do this? Do you guys like Zoom? Or do you send out like a Goonies bat signal up to the sky?
Sky? Don't you realize? The next time you see sky, it'll be in another town. The next time you take a test, it'll be in some other school. Our parents, they want the best of stuff for us, but right now they gotta do what's right for them because it's their time. Their time! Up there. Down here, it's our time. It's our time down here! It's all over the minute we ride up Troy's bucket.
Sean Astin, I love you. Please welcome the cast of The Goonies. Josh! Me! Martha! Carrie! Corey! Sean! Jeff!
I can't.
Look at guys! The cast of The Goonies! I cannot believe I have you all in one, but also so many places. If I were to tell my younger self that this was happening, he'd probably have like a 1980s Hodor fit. First of all, I'd love each of you to quickly fill us in on what you've been up to in and out of quarantine.
We've been doing nothing. What do you mean, what have we been doing? Things have been good, though, man. It's a great time to kind of reassess. What starts to surface is what's important and what's not so important. And it's instigating a lot of things like this, man, which is amazing. This would never happen. And I'm so happy to see everybody. I can't even tell you. I was shaking before we started.
Martha, what are you up to right now? You're looking beautiful.
Oh, you're very kind, dear. I did manage to shower today. That was a major accomplishment. Thank you.
Carrie, where are we finding you right now? You look like a first lady.
I'm in my home, the kids and the dog and my husband, and we've been
eating that.
Jeff, which Game of Thrones set are you currently occupying?
Well, this is my friend Tony Montana. This is his throne, and he let me wear it. Thank you, Josh, for setting this up. This is amazing. It's great to see everybody. It's an important cause. I reached the pinnacle of entertainment by portraying the role of Chunk, and there was nowhere to go but down. So I retired on top, like Babe Ruth before me. I went to law school, and I'm currently an entertainment lawyer.
The one person who's no longer an actor looks most like an actor right now.
Are you still acting?
Oh my God, it's been so exciting for the last few months. I decided to get back into acting because of movies like Crazy Rich Asians has really opened up a lot of opportunities for actors in the Asian community.
Sean, what have you been up to?
My acting, my daughter's high school senior film class just did a production, and I played the principal. I think there was heart. There was a lot of heart in that performance. Mostly, I've just been coming to terms with being, you know, non-essential, which I'm trying to do with precision.
Corey, how are you holding up?
I'm doing well. I'm actually stuck outside of the country, so I'm the only one, I believe, who's quarantining very far from all of you, because I had premiered my film, By Truth, the documentary, which is the expose that I spent the last 3 years working on, and it's a really important film.
Getting back to these Goonie adventures, I would try to recreate with some of my own group of Goonies. Okay, so at about 6-7 years old, a little bit older, I lived in this apartment complex, and unfortunately, I lived on the second floor and had this beautiful, beautiful BMX bike. It was silver and red with a little bit of black gold trim, and of course I had the self-imposed on the front of the bike the flashlight, and it was duct taped around, and you would, you know, pull the one of these military style flashlights that you'll often see in Stranger Things. But you would put that on there and you would just tape it around. And this is, you know, this is a way that I did that. But we actually, when I say we, just me. So to set up the whole, you know, kind of like the backdrop of everything, we lived not too far from this, this famous, and it's really famous in the area in which I live, cemetery, and it butts up against a river, so you have this marshy, you know, moss draped cemetery that you could ride your bike to. And during this time down this road, there were no lights, so all you had was your BMX bike with these lights that would sometimes flicker on and off because of the, you know, the bumpiness of the road. And I would lower that bike outside of my window to the second, to the first floor, because I was on the second floor. And I would have that bike, you know, that rope there, and I would just be able to pull that rope back up. And it wasn't too far from the ground, but, you know, this is just the adventures that that us kids had during that time. And there was about 5 of us in the group, and we would have these adventures, and every day or every weekend we would have different things that we would do trying to find this. Especially after watching the Goonies, we would, you know, we would try to find certain things. And of course in the area there was sometimes artifacts that we could actually find during that time. But we would sneak out at night, usually like after 7-8 o'clock at night, after we were supposed to be in bed, and we'd have these adventures up until like 10 o'clock or something like that. We would come home and, you know, and re-enter, you know. And it was so funny because there was a tree that was right beside, so I was able to climb that tree and get to a certain point in the rope and let myself back into the window. I know this is a lot of stuff that wouldn't happen today or couldn't happen today, somewhat because of a little bit of helicopter parenting, but I would let myself in. And, you know, after, you know, having my bike tied at the end, I would, you know, lift my bike up back into the room. And this was just so funny, just remembering all of this. But there was this one time where I didn't anticipate something happening, where I lowered myself out. And of course, like I said, it was just getting dark. And depending on the time of year, it was just getting dark. And I let myself right down into a huge ant bed. And that was not the funnest thing ever. It just wasn't. And I quickly ran upstairs because they were basically covered all over me. They were all over the bike. And that was, I think, one of the last Goonie adventures that I had, because my mom had to throw me into the bathtub and get all of the ants off of me and rub me down with alcohol. It was just a whole process. And, you know, so I, needless to say, I was grounded for quite a while. And but it wasn't until years later where I would fully tell all. It was like sitting down and telling everything that I'd done. You know, I was in my 20s by then. But it was so funny just seeing their, you know, facial expressions. Like, they had no idea that a lot of this was going on. And I was a latchkey kid at the time. You know, I was, you know, so it was a lot more freedom during that time. Parents weren't afraid of every little thing, which now I think the world's a little bit more dangerous. Or maybe it's always been this dangerous. It's just that people really look out for one another, and you don't see that as much now. People aren't as involved, and you don't really know your neighbors as much as you probably used to. But anyway, with that huge sidebar and going on this huge tangent, I'm going to jump back into the Goonies. And like I said, I'm not going to go beat by beat and cover scene by scene throughout the entire movie, but just highlight some of my favorite parts from the movie. But I really did want to cover the first part of the movie, at least the first half of the movie for sure, because I really think that this laid the groundwork. And I think the last 35 to 45 minutes of the movie, it's just about them just in these caverns and just having these adventures and getting away from the Fratellis. And there's, of course, you know, a lot of fun scenes, a lot of things that are going on throughout that. But that's really what I just wanted to really talk about and jump into that first half, because I think that really lays the groundwork for what comes in the second part, or, you know, the third act of the movie. Now, the Goonies escape via Cyndi Lauper, you know, kids on bikes, of course. And there's this whole scene where they tie up the kids, Bran, because he's exercising, he hasn't gotten his license, and it's just this whole thing. And I just love that. That's one of my favorite scenes, just them cascading down the mountain or down the hills of Oregon into basically E.T. land is what I like to call it. But yeah, just them, just that's iconic for me. That's like the one of the best scenes outside of the old pirate ship coming out of the waters off the coast of Oregon at that time. Now, the thing I loved about this movie is that certain moments, and I, you know, talked about this a little bit, mentioned a little bit, but it's very atmospheric, E.T.-esque, these tall trees, sequoias and everything, just the backdrop, and just, and you can tell that this is an early fall movie, and it even says as much within the movie itself. And I just really, really was drawn to everything that they were doing, this atmosphere that they were building, whether it was in this cabin, this restaurant that was closed down because it was a summer restaurant, or whatever, you know, whatever was brought about during that time. I thought it was really one of the best ways of drawing this little town and really, really bringing a lot of that forth. Now Data, he's so funny. Is one of the funniest scenes that he said was one of the things that he said in one of the scenes was drug dealer, you know, wouldn't be caught in those polyester rags. It's just like, yes, I absolutely agree with you, Data. Yes, this, you know, this was the 80s. This was a time of excess. It was, you know, it was go big or go home. And that was definitely, definitely portrayed in a lot of movies during this era. And that was for sure one of the funniest moments for me coming from Data. You know, something I really realized going throughout this movie is that these were real villains. These were real bad guys, and they were comedic, and it was a lot of slapstick going on. But there were real moments where you didn't know, like, you know, something could happen. Like Chunk, when he's caught, or when his hand's about to go into a blender, or, you know, they mix that very, very well. It's like, you know, there's the moment where one of the brothers falls on a pole and he's wincing in pain. And then there's another moment where he's pulling a gun and, you know, this can go bad really fast. And I think they skirted that line really well within this movie. And you can see that even from the very beginning and throughout when the two brothers are arguing with each other about pizza. Because it's something that's, you know, a bit funny with the, you know, pizza fighting back and forth and the mom slapping the, you know, the brothers. And it's just, it's not great to see, but it's just, you know, it plays well on the big screen. And one of the favorite moments of me, just kind of like kid wonderment and just them being oblivious to everything that's going on. Chunk, you know, really is the only one that has, has really put everything together. And he's like, bullet holes, I saw this, you know, this SUV or whatever going through town when I was in the arcade. And then later on, he's piecing it all together in his mind, and everybody else is just completely oblivious to everything that's going on, because he goes into this shed at the restaurant and he sees the bullet holes and he remembers the gunshots, and he was telling him about that, but because he's cried wolf so many times, they don't believe him. So all of this is coming full circle, and it's really, you know, good to see him put all these things together. But at the same time, when they're all skipping up to the restaurant and they have no idea what's going on, you know, the kids are just skipping along and gunshots are ringing out in the background, and one of them's like, oh, you know, this is some pots or something that fell. It's like, I don't know if that sounds like, you know, pots. And Chunk is just he's insistent on, this is not right, we need to turn around. And I, you know, maybe they should have, you know, possibly going into a dangerous situation, and, you know, they were at the window watching a lot of what was going on. But I just found that to be very interesting. Like, sometimes kids don't know what's going on, or you don't think they know what's exactly going on. Now the gang get to the abandoned restaurant, you know, as I said, and Mikey has to use the bathroom, and then the adventure begins. At that very moment, it's a slow progression into the caverns beneath the restaurant, which lead to the rich stuff. And, you know, there's the scene where Chunk is in the, because of course he smells ice cream. I don't know how he smelled the ice cream in a freezer, but he smells ice cream, and then he ultimately he gets stuck in there with the stiff. And you know, like I said, this has some real implications throughout it, and there's some real danger always lurking around the corner. And I think that lends well to the storytelling of this, because it's like, you know, there's these kids and there's a lot of, you know, things that are going on, but they are really in danger at a lot of moments within the movie. But there's Chunk and the stiff. And, you know, we got this guy, of course, has gotten this bullet in the middle of the forehead. And he's in there, and there's just this whole funny sequence that's going on, and he's terrified to death about everything that is going on, that's happened. And then we get Chunk getting caught by the Fratelli brothers, and one of them is singing Italian opera, I think that's what it was, and they are just, he's basically, and of course when we don't see the face of the brother, and then, he's telling all everything, and then the camera pans towards his face out of the darkness into the light. It's just, it's one of the best uses of camera work I've seen, especially in the 80s movies. And of course, they had a lot of things that they worked with, but I thought that was that worked really well. It definitely worked well for me. And then Chuck spilling his guts and just going through the whole, his whole lifetime of indiscretions, shall we say. And that's one of the funniest moments. And then shortly after this, because I always remember Chunk being with them down in the caverns looking for, a lot of the treasure, but that didn't happen until much later, almost to like the last 10 minutes of the movie. So, basically Chuck's adventure with the Goonies stopped pretty much once he escapes from the restaurant, once the rest of them are down in the caverns, and he later on goes on to get captured, and then he's with Sloth, and that is a beautiful friendship between the two of them, because it starts off as a fear-based relationship, at least between Chunk and Sloth, but it's it really morphs into him just being a brother to him. And I thought that was so beautiful, and just the storytelling, and just not judging people on their appearances. And that was one of the best things I took out from the movie. It was really wonderful to see that, and to have that message so firmly established and instilled within the story. And from here on out, there's pretty much just the kids running away from the Fratellis, and them going through and finally finding the treasure, One Eye Willie's treasure. And there's a great moment with Mikey and Brand, and him understanding him and him actually seeing him, in that moment. That was really beautiful. Really beautiful to see. This movie, like I said, it has all the feels, and it doesn't have a lot of people that absolutely love it, or rather hate it, rather. But there are a few people that know. This watching this movie as an adult is a little bit different experience watching it as a when I watched it as a child. And I would agree with that to some extent, but some of that is positive, and some of it for some people, is a negative, because all they see is, kids running around screaming for most of the movie. But that's not it. That it's the reactions between the kids and everything that they're going through. And that's why, for me, The Goonies will be one of the greatest movies to have ever come out of the 80s.
To move on, play the tune as each note is said. If you make too many mistakes, will surely be
muerto.
What is that? Come on.
Dead.
Come on. I mean, we gotta play the bones to get out of here.
Exactly.
Were they out there?
What?
Hurry up.
You guys, look. There are notes on this.
That's
Annie, Annie, you took
piano lessons.
I was 4 years old. You
know,
I wanted to be 17.
Get it.
I'm trying to find Middle C. This is nothing like my mother's Steinway.
Do something, boy.
Okay. Of the first chord, I think, is...
Come on, Eddie.
almost made mistakes. Don't make any more. Come on.
Sorry. Where was I? A flat.
Play it!
Is for Josh, my brother. In the film, we tortured you. We tied you up in 1980s workout equipment. So my question is, have you ever considered at this point snapping me out?
So this is like a Goonies Avengers reference. No, but I have thought about tying you up, but that's really weird, isn't it? Carrie, on average, how many times a week does someone come up to you and scream, "Andy, you goonie!"
That has never happened ever in my life.
No.
Once.
Really?
That shocks me.
I have a question for you, Kate.
Oh, cool. Ready? Okay.
What was more fun, going down the Goonie slide or dropping out of an airplane on an inflatable raft with Indiana Jones?
You know, I would really love to discuss the differences in playing Data in Goonies versus Short Round in Indiana Jones, but unfortunately, I got to jump on an Indiana Jones Zoom thing with Harrison Ford. I gotta go. If I'm being honest, I feel extremely fortunate to be a part of these two amazing movies. I had the best of time making them, and the way I see it is, if I didn't survive jumping out of a plane with Indiana Jones, I would have never been able to go on a water slide with my fellow Goonies.
Yeah.
Here's my question for you.
Yes.
How is it that Chunk is more fit than any of us now?
Well, thank you, Key. My brother Key, that's very kind. Yes, it is true. I did go from Chunk to the hunk that you now see in front of you.
In my humble opinion, Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Fratelli brothers are some of the most iconic villains ever. Were you scared of them? Were you guys scared of them as kids?
Why is he my pepperoni?
Why pepperoni?
Huh? Bobby Davi. He was a scary man. Especially when he sang opera.
Please welcome the Fratelli brothers. Gentlemen, Joey Pants.
Yay!
Hi, everybody. Robert Davi.
Look at you, how beautiful you all are.
Robert, you haven't aged in a day. What are you doing? Are you drinking blood?
No. No, I just drink a lot of, wheatgrass juice and stuff.
Two of the people who sadly can't be with us are John Matuszak and Ann Ramsey. What were they like to work with?
John was a great guy. I used to tease him because we all used to be able to eat, and he wasn't able to eat with the prosthesis.
He
used to eat his lunch through a straw, right? They used to give him smoothies.
Yes, they had the straw, but we would. Joey and I would eat hamburgers or pizza, and go, "John, would you like a bite?"
What was Ann like to work with as your mom?
She's wonderful. I remember Dobby and I in the makeup trailer with Annie in the morning, and we would be rattling. We would just be yelling at each other first thing in the morning. And finally, she started screaming, "Stop it! Stop it! I can't stand it anymore!"
Show them a tattoo.
Oh, I have a tattoo.
Mom was in the Navy.
Our perception of you guys on set was total rivalry, the exact same rivalry that you had in the movie. So was that rivalry real?
100%. I can't stomach the guy.
So I'd love to bring out the writer of The Goonies, a man who, in addition to writing your film, wrote Gremlins and would go on to direct the Home Alone films, Mrs. Doubtfire, and of course, Harry Potter. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Chris Columbus. I gotta ask you a question I've been meaning to ask you for a long time. How exactly does one go about writing a movie about a bunch of offbeat kids who meet a deformed man in the basement of a criminal syndicate, which also happens to sit upon a cave housing a trapped pirate ship with enough treasure to save multiple families from foreclosure in the most exciting action adventure setting of them all, Oregon?
I'd never been to Oregon, first of all. So I didn't know. I was originally going to set the film in Ohio, which is where I grew up. So I grew up in this, you know, sort of factory town where there was nothing to do. It was a complete disaster. And all I wanted to do was get out of it.
Is any of it based on your life? Did you go treasure hunting as a kid?
Oh, God, no. There was no treasure in Youngstown, Ohio. But what we used to do as kids in that town during the summer was go into the abandoned coal mines, and that's where we searched for treasure.
All right. Now, guys, I have a big favor to ask on behalf of everybody at home and mainly me. I think we're all wondering what it would be like to see you guys reprise these roles from The Goonies 34 years later. So we've collected some of our favorite lines for each of you. All we need is a director. So I want to bring in one Richard Donner, who's celebrating his 90th birthday.
God bless you.
I don't think he can see us.
Can he hear us?
Now, clearly, Richard has never shot a film on Zoom before, only 65 millimeter, apparently. So we're going to give Richard a second to figure out how to see and hear us, and then we'll get him back into this interview.
Okay, here we go. Data, where are you going?
I'm setting booby traps.
You mean booby traps?
That's what I said. I'm setting booby traps. God, you guys.
It sounded exactly like when you did it.
I'm having flashbacks.
Don and Carrie, you guys still got it?
Okay. I can't tell if it's an A sharp or if it's a B flat.
If you hit the wrong note, we'll all be flat.
Yes!
Yes!
Jeff, Josh, Sean, Corey, bring it to us. Bring it home for us.
It's only because I love you, Josh, and this is a very important charity. For the scene, I'm supposed to have a statue of David. I do not have that. But I do have a chunk plushie.
Oh, there's a statue of David! Carrie's got the statue!
Is it turned around? Is the
groin
turned around? It is.
Yeah.
Don't put it too close. Not too close.
And action.
Hey, I bet you thought I was going to drop it, huh? I know you'd expect that a good old chunk.
You idiot!
Oh, my God!
Look, it's not broken. It's perfect.
The statue's penis has broken off.
You think your arm's gonna notice?
What?
Oh my God.
You think your arm's gonna notice? Notice that you got a finger on her.
Well, I wonder if she'll notice.
That's what I said.
Well, of course she'll notice. She notices everything.
From glued the statue's penis on upside down.
How's this?
Oh, you idiot. You glued it on upside down.
If God made it that way, you'd all be pissing in your faces.
Scene 4, Martha Key, Sean and Corey.
Wait. Stop. You can't do this.
Why?
Because these are somebody else's wishes. They're somebody else's dream.
Yeah, but you know what? This one right here, this was my wish, my dream, and it didn't come true. So I'm taking it back. I'm taking them all back.
Oh, yeah.
Carrie and Martha, you want to give us one of my favorite pieces of dialogue in cinema history?
Does Brand wear braces?
Next time, kiss with your eyes open. It's a whole different experience.
And finally, the Fratelli brothers.
Guys, wait, hold on. I need a moment. Because this is chunk related, I do have a Hawaiian shirt, so I
yes.
can get into the mood. In true chunk fashions. Okay. Kid. Tell us everything.
Everything?
Everything. Okay, I'll talk. In third grade, I cheated on my history exam. In fourth grade, I stole my Uncle Max's toupee, and I glued it on my face to play Moses in my Hebrew school play. In fifth grade, I knocked my sister Edie down the stairs, and I blamed it on the dog. And my mom sent me to summer camp for fat kids, and they served lunch. I pigged out. They kicked me out. But the worst thing I ever done, I mixed up a pot, a fake puke at home, and I went to the movie theater, and I hid the puke in my jacket. I climbed up to the balcony, and this was terrible. I made a noise like this. Everybody with me. And then I dumped it on the side and all the people in the audience. And then this was horrible. All the people started getting sick and throwing up all over each other. I never felt so bad in my entire life.
Hey, Ma, I'm beginning to like this kid.
Chris Columbus, what did you think?
I actually think you guys may be better now.
There's one other person I should ask. Ladies and gentlemen, one of my favorite directors of all time, the legend himself, Steven Spielberg.
Hey, you guys! We're just making an ordinary adventure here, ordinary fantasy. Nothing extraordinary happens in this picture at all.
Steven, do you have any memory or memories that stand out from visiting the set and from being around these guys?
My best memory, I have to say, didn't happen during the shooting of the movie. It happened after the movie was over. Everyone we cast was high energy, and after a while, it kind of started working on Dick, sort of tear him apart a piece at a time. And so by the end of the movie, in the last 2 weeks, Richard just kept saying, "Oh my God, I got 2 weeks to go and I can't wait to finish. And I'm going to go to my house in Hawaii and I'm going to get away from all this noise. And it's extraordinary. And I love him to pieces, but I can't stand it anymore." So right after we wrapped the film, I took the whole cast and put them on American Airlines and sent them to Donner's house in Hawaii. So before Dick ever landed, they all showed up in his living room, and then they can tell you the story from there when Dick opened the door and saw all the Goonies in his living room screaming and waving.
We all opened up our suitcases and we threw our clothes everywhere, and we're all lounging either outside in his hammock or in his bed. I think somebody ended up in his bed.
He dropped to his knees. He turned white as a sheet. Thought we'd given him a coronary.
Please welcome with me the singer of one of the greatest movie themes of all time, Cyndi Lauper.
Hey, Cyndi Lauper!
You somehow have an age since the making of The Goonies.
A lot of facial cream. For me, The Goonies was kind of our gang kind of thing. We are good enough. It was one of those incredible underdog movies that you always root for the underdog, and it was funny.
Please join me in celebrating Dick Donner's equipment working.
Oh, you're Dick.
We got audio from Dick.
Dick Donner. Happy birthday, Dick.
Is today your 90th birthday?
My 90th? Holy shit. Nobody has told me which one it is.
Dick, I gotta ask you, Chris, and Steven, while you're here, what is it gonna take for you guys to make a Goonies sequel?
They can't even spell that. Steven can answer that better than anybody.
Chris and Dick and I and Lauren have had a lot of conversations about it, and every couple of years we come up with an idea, but then it doesn't hold water. I mean, the problem is the bar that all of you raised on this genre. I don't think we've really successfully been able to find an idea that is better than the Goonies that we all made in the 80s. So until we do, people are just going to have to look at this 100 times.
How are you going to find 7 miserable kids like this again that are all new and fresh?
It is the most difficult thing I ever thought I was going to get into. I never anticipated what it was going to be like, because individually, they're wonderful. They're nuts. They're the warmest, craziest little things that have come into my life. but in a composite form, you get them all together, and it's mind-blowing.
Very early on when we were doing Wardrobe, and Dick was talking about the film, and he said, this will be the Wizard of Oz of this time period. And you said it back then, in the mid-80s, when we first started, we hadn't even finished filming.
How do I get you on this thing? How do I? I got nine people, but I don't have you.
Dick, scroll to the right.
Oh, I got more people.
Hey.
Oh, this is very exciting.
What is it about the Goonies that stands the test of time? There is something about this movie that's just so joyful. What do you attribute that to, Dick?
What can I tell you? I mean, you know, if I could give you an answer to that, I'd be as rich as Steven.
I gotta have you guys all do your best sloth impressions, because I feel like I have a very good one. My favorite sloth moment ever is actually a random one when he's pulling the pipe down and he just literally is holding it and he goes,
My favorite sloth moment is where he says, Ruth, baby.
Another thing, Dick, I have to ask you while I've got you. According to IMDb, there's 103 bloopers in the movie. Who are you responsible for that? Who do you blame for that? Because now's the time where you can blame anyone.
Listen, with all these seven incredible human beings talking at once, hogging the camera, loving, crying, hating, smiling, we're lucky it's not 1,003.
Corey, did you actually speak Spanish, or Dick and Chris and Steven just fed you those lines?
Nunca suba arriba este lleno de los instrumentos de tortura de sexual del señor Walsh.
Hey!
Once you learn it, it never goes away, baby.
Steven, do you remember when Harrison came to the set?
Harrison Ford visited the set of the Goonies?
Everybody visited. Clint Eastwood visited.
Clint came on the set, and he watched for about 15 minutes and came over to me and he said, did you ever think about going back to acting?
Today has brought me more joy than I think any day of my life. Do not tell my family this. I would love for all of us to just take a second and give a shout out to all of the amazing first responders, all of the incredible nurses, doctors, everybody who's fighting right now to bring relief to everybody suffering from COVID-19. If you guys enjoyed today as much as I did, please make sure to donate below. Cindy Lauper, would you lead us out with an encore performance of Good Enough?
Are you it's
good enough?
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of The Goonies, and I'm sorry this episode came out a little bit later than I had expected it to, but it's just some work things really piled up on me, and I was trying to get so many things accomplished all at the same time, and as of the recording of this episode, or at least the completion of it anyway, we have a major hurricane heading our way. And another reason why this episode is coming out a little bit later is because I was trying to finish up this other episode so that I could possibly release it before the initial date that I wanted it to come out, which is September 30th. But I think I may wait until October 2nd to let it come out, because and the reason why I'm saying a lot of this is because it I know Power probably will be out. There will be a lot of things going on, so I want to go ahead and just get this squared away. So, and also, this episode's a little bit longer than a lot of the other episodes will be, for the most part. There will be some episodes that will be almost 2 hours long like this one is, but I really wanted to go ahead and get another one out of the way. And then, of course, there has been some news on Stranger Things, and then some other theories that I've got out there that I want to throw out. So I've been really packing in a whole bunch in a very short period of time. So literally, for one day, like 17 hours, I was working on a lot of this stuff. So anyway, that's a little bit behind the scenes stuff that has been going on. So I apologize that this is a couple days later than I wanted it to come out, but you know, you guys will always get the episodes. And like I said, I want to continue a lot of this going on as we move on with the coverage of my 80s movies, some of my favorite 80s movies. And the next movie up is also a biggie from the 80s, and it's entitled Back to the Future. I'm pretty sure you've heard of it. Anyway, that's what's coming up next. So I'll see you guys on the next episode of a Stranger Things podcast. And I'll see you in the Upside Down.
Thanks.